All right. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, is page 15 in your pew Bible. So please stand with me as we read God's Word together. Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1 on page 15. Let's read God's Word together. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father?" And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Thank you. You can be seated. When I entered college, I was introduced to a document that I had never seen before called a syllabus. A syllabus is similar to a map. It describes the path that you're going to take in the class from day one until you take the final exam. As you read over the syllabus, you see how much material you must read before each class. You're made aware that there may be papers that you have to write as part of your studies. You see the date of the midterm and the date of the final exam. The syllabus is your guide for each class session and tells you what you're expected to know and when you will be tested on that knowledge. Wouldn't it be wonderful if life had a syllabus where you knew that on such and such a date, this is going to happen. On such and such a date, I'm going to get a phone call regarding this. Or on such and such a date, I'm going to hear this news. But life has no syllabus, but we are assured that even though life may not contain a syllabus, it certainly contains a variety of tests. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, James says, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance." 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, Peter says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when His glory is revealed." The test of life can take various forms. There's the test of illness. There's the test of a financial downturn. There's the test that comes in the loss of a spouse or a child. There's the test that comes due to a divorce. There's the test that comes due to a job loss. There's the test that comes due to a betrayal. There's the test that comes due to a break in a family relationship. There's the test that comes through disappointment. The tests are various. The tests have a variety of names, but they come one after another. Now this morning, rather than us taking the final exam, we have the opportunity to sit in for Abraham's final exam. This exam that Abraham is taking for his final is encompassing various topics that Abraham has failed in the past. But now Abraham is at the final exam, the final test, in which those topics that he had been tested on before and had failed are once again going to be presented to him. And Abraham is going to have an opportunity to show, to prove to himself that I have learned the topics. The first topic that Abraham's final exam covered was the topic of obedience. Obedience. Abraham had failed this test twice before. The first time was recorded in Genesis chapter 12 in verse 1. Where Abraham is commanded by God, it says, "The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." There's the command. Leave this land, leave your family, leave your father's household, and go to a land that I will show you. And here is how Abram responded to the test. Verse 4 says, "So Abram went as the Lord had told him," but then it adds these final five words, "and Lot went with him." What was God's command? God's command was leave your family, leave your household, leave this land. You and Sarai go into the land that I'm going to show you. And yet Abraham partially obeys God. He does leave the land, but he brings along his nephew Lot. And I'm sure Abram tried to justify it. Well, Lord, his dad died, and really, you know, he's my nephew, and I'm the only family he has, and I really feel bad about telling Lot, you can't go with me, you have to stay here. I just didn't know how to break the news to him, so I'm sure he won't bother anything or create any kind of problems. Don't worry about Sodom and Gomorrah. I think we can handle that, but I'm going to bring Lot along with me. He failed the test. He had a second opportunity to obey God, and it regarded the birth of Isaac. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her.'" And here Abram is presented the opportunity to obey God or to obey his wife, because God had promised Abram, "I will give you and Sarah a son." And here Sarai says to her husband, "The reason we don't have any children is because of God. God's to blame for this. God has kept me from having children. But here is a good option. Go sleep with my slave." And here is how Abram responded to the test of obedience. Abram agreed to do what Sarai said. Not what God said, but what his wife said. And I'm sure in his mind, Abram tried to justify it. "Well, we've waited 10 years. We still have no child. And, you know, Sarah always has great advice. And you know, God, you know that saying, happy wife, happy life. And if you're not going to let us have a child, then maybe this is a good way to do it. And maybe Sarah's right. So, and really, God, what's it going to hurt? Don't don't worry about those Arabs and Palestinians that will come out of this. This will get all that resolved. And so the first part of Abraham's final exam has to do with that area where he's already failed. It has to do with obedience. And here is Abraham's answer regarding obedience on the final exam. Genesis 22, verses 3 and 4. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. That was his answer on the final exam. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. So he gets up the next morning, he gets his servants, he loads the donkey, he gets his son, he gets the wood, he gets the fire, he sets off for the place. Well, the second topic of his final exam had to do with hope, because this was another area that Abraham had failed miserably on. Webster defines the word hope as, and I quote, a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. And some synonyms for hope are expect, anticipate, look for, wait for, be hopeful of, to pin one's hope on. Because you see, Abraham had failed in the area of hope. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said to the Lord, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Abram is expressing to God, I'm hopeless. I have no hope. There is no expectation in me. You have given me no child. And this servant of mine, Eleazar, he's going to inherit everything that I have when I die. I put my hope in you, God, and you failed me. I know that had to be a low point in Abram's life. But on the final exam, Abraham is again here the topic of hope. He's just gone through the first section of obedience, and now he comes to the second area of hope. And now he has to respond, and his response is found in Genesis 22, verses 4 and 5. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. And now listen to what he says to them next. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham now has hope. He says, I'm going to take my son. I can't tell you what God has told me to do, but I'm going to take my son, and we're going to climb that mountain, and I'm going to build an altar, and I'm going to lay my son on that altar with the expectation that I'm going to sacrifice that boy to the Lord. But I can tell you this, the boy and I are going to worship, and the boy and I are coming back. He did not lose his hope. He kept hope alive. Even though he'd failed this area, Abraham now is at a place where his hope is in God. His expectation is in God. He has pinned his hope in the power and the providence and the goodness of God. And he is saying to these men, I'm coming back and I'm bringing my son back with me. He may have a scar on him, but I'm bringing him back. Now, we come to the third part of Abraham's final exam. He's finished the first topic of faith, of obedience. He has turned to page 2, and the answer now has been given regarding hope. But now he comes to page 3 of his final exam, and at the top of the exam, it says, this section deals with faith. faith. Like all of us, Abraham had issues and struggles with faith. Two in particular. The first one is found in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham and Sarah have left the land of their home, and they're now traveling toward Canaan. But there's a famine in the land. And Abraham has to make a decision. And the decision is this: am I going to trust God? Am I going to place my faith in God? Or am I going to place my faith in myself? Am I going to believe that even though this is a land of famine, this is the land God has promised me, and I'm here because God told me to come here, and God is going to take care of me? Or do I need to find a way to handle this problem in my own strength? And he chose the latter. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, now Abram is now, I mean, he's not just failing the test. This is coming back with red marks written all over his paper. He said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but will let you live. Tell them you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake. And now listen to this next part. And my life will be spared because of you. Not because of God. Abraham knew he'd already shut the door to faith with God by leaving the promised land, and now he's going to Egypt because there's food in Egypt and he can't trust God to meet his needs in the promised land. So now he's heading to Egypt, and now doubt is just swirling in him. And so he looks at his beautiful wife Sarai and he says to her, honey, if we go into Egypt and they know you're my wife, they'll kill me in order to get you. So tell them you are my sister, because if you will do so, you will spare my life. You know, we always place our faith in someone or something. And if we don't place our faith in God and our trust and confidence in God, we're going to place it in somebody or something. We're going to place it in our retirement. We're going to replace it in our investments. We're going to place it in our spouse, our child. We're going to place it in ourselves. We're going to place our faith in our partner. We're going to say to somebody, make me look good, protect me. I don't want to be hurt. Take care of me. And that is what Abram is saying to his wife. He's not saying to God, I trust that you can meet my need. He is saying to Sarai, you have the responsibility now of making me happy. And what a terrible burden that is to put on somebody. It's your responsibility now to make sure that I feel good and to make sure that I'm taken care of and to make sure that I get what I want. It's your responsibility. Well, he didn't just do that once. Abram was a slow learner. Apparently, he was not in an advanced class when it came to faith. Because in Genesis chapter 20, it says, now Abram moved on. He again leaves the promised land. He moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. While he stayed in Gerar, Abram said of his wife Sarah, she is my sister. When he comes into the city, the people are saying to him, who is this woman with you? He didn't want to say she's my wife because he was afraid they would kill him. So he says to them, she is my sister. Because by now Abraham's faith is in himself and his desire and the need that he feels to make it happen rather than placing his faith in God. But now Abraham is on the final exam. He's on page 3 dealing with faith. Genesis chapter 22, beginning of verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. And now hear the words of this boy's question. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham now has to place and declare his faith. Is it in himself? He could have easily said, son, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Son, don't worry about it. I've made arrangements. But this is what Abraham says. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When Abraham gets to the final exam and he's on page 3 dealing with faith, and he's brought that question, and the question that Isaac is asking him is that deals with, it doesn't directly deal, but it deals with the same issue that Abraham had in Egypt and had in Gerar, and that is, who is going to take care of us? And Abraham before felt that it was his responsibility and his wife's responsibility to take care of them. But now Abraham, in dealing with that question, because the question of Isaac is this, where are we going to get the lamb? Who is responsible for the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God will supply the lamb. Don't worry about it, son. I have placed my faith in God, and He will meet our need. And now Abraham turns to the last page of the final exam, page 4, and at the top of it, the sentence at the top in bold print says this, the final page of your final exam will deal with your vision. Your vision. You see, Abraham had failed this test before. It's found in Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 18. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. And here is the depth and the range of Abraham's vision. It says, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only you would bless Ishmael. There's Abraham's vision. This boy that I created in my own strength with Hagar, why don't you just put the blessing on him? Because God, what you're saying right now is so preposterous and so ridiculous and so out of the ordinary that I'm sorry. It just makes me laugh to think that a 100-year-old man and his 90-year-old wife are going to have a child. His vision. Friday, I had to go have my driver's license renewed, and I had been sweating it out. I had the card for a month sitting on my chest of drawers, and because I dreaded one part of the test, the vision. So I go and I'm talking to the lady and I'm just trying to butter her up the best way I can. Sweetness is just oozing out of me. I'm talking to her about, you know, how nice she is and how pleasant she is. And, you know, she's going through would you like to be an organ donor? Oh, yes, certainly. I'll be an organ donor. And are you registered? Oh, yes, I'm registered to vote. And we're just having the best conversation. I've asked her, do you have big plans for the weekend? And she's telling me what she and her husband are going to do. And she's just typing stuff in. And I'm thinking, I may get by. And she says, there's only one other thing we need to do. You need to go down to that end and we need to test your vision. So I walk down there, dejected, I put my face in the little thing, and she said, look at line 5, and you'll see 2 lines. Read those to me. And I mean, they are bright and black and bold. And I just read them out to her, and I thought, man, I did it. She said, there's one more line to the left. And I'm looking, and I don't see anything to the left. And I'm looking, and I said, are you sure? She said, oh, yes, it's to the left. And I'm turning my head, and then something slowly starts to come into focus. And I realize I can't read it. And so now I am squinting my eyes, and I've got my hands here so she can't tell what I'm doing. And I am just squinting. And I finally read all 4 letters, and she said, you got 3 out of the 4. That's passing. So I have a driver's license. My first question to her was this, while I'm still sitting there, how long is this license good for? 8 years. Oh, good, good. Abraham failed the vision test. God says to him, Abraham, I'm changing your name. You're no longer to be called Abram. You're to be called Abraham. And Sarai is no longer to be called Sarai. You're going to call her Sarah. I'm going to bless Sarah. You and Sarah are going to have a child. And not only a child, but I'm going to bless her. She's going to be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. And Abraham falls down on his face and starts laughing. He can't see it. It just doesn't seem reasonable to him. But now Abraham is on page 4 of the final exam. And there's the vision test. Genesis 22, beginning in verse 15 through 18. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. I find it interesting that God didn't say, Abraham, hang on a minute, I'm going to get a ram caught in a thicket. The ram was there. Abraham did not see the ram until he got to the vision part of the test. When Abraham needed to see the ram was there. That's where we fail the vision test, is we start looking for the answer before we have finished the test. Abraham found the answer when he finished that part of the test. And the writer of Hebrews touches on this in chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was being tested, and I'm reading this from the Amplified Version, when he was being tested, and then in parentheses that it says, that is, as the testing of his faith was still in progress, he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises of God was ready to sacrifice his only son of promise, to whom it was said to him, through Isaac your descendants shall be called. For Abraham considered it reasonable to believe that God was able to raise Isaac even from the dead. Abraham had seen this thing all the way through, and he said this, Lord, I see that if I kill Isaac on the altar, you can raise him from the dead. So why should I sweat killing my son? Because I see the possibility that you can raise Isaac from the dead. He saw the vision. He had the vision when he got to the test. You know, as you know, about almost 3 weeks ago, Elizabeth Posey went to have outpatient surgery on her toe. She went home after the surgery. They took her back to the doctor a couple times because they could not find an answer to her pain. Finally, her daughter took her to the emergency room, and she was readmitted to the hospital, and there they found that a blood clot had developed, that there was only one artery feeding her left leg, a blood clot had developed. And rather than having toe surgery, they had to amputate most of her left leg. This week, when I went to see Elizabeth, She didn't talk about how sorry, you know, how much sorrow she had. She didn't talk about her woe. She didn't talk about her problems. She didn't talk about, this isn't fair to me. This isn't right. Here's what she told me. She began to talk to me about how faithful God is. She said, about 3 years ago, my daughter and I were going to build a house, and the contractor began to talk to us about building it handicap accessible. And we didn't think we needed to do that because it was going to be more expensive, but we decided to let him go ahead and build the house handicap accessible. And she said, that means that not only is the kitchen and my bedroom and the living room and all the halls handicap accessible, she said, in my bathroom, there's a 6-foot by 6-foot shower that I can roll a wheelchair into. 3 years ago, they saw no need in doing that. But now that she's at that place of the test, she sees now that God is Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. In fact, the Hebrew puts it this way, he's the God who sees ahead and makes provision. That is the way of Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides in the midst of an excruciating test. You can see God's hand and his provision. This is how Paul worded it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the test, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. Are you in the middle of a test? Has life handed you an unexpected test? Are you baffled and stunned by what is occurring in your life right now? Does life seem to be out of your control? Well, let me introduce to you Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, the God who sees ahead and makes provision. Right now, you may not be to page 4 of the exam. You may be on page 1 or page 2 or page 3. But the assurance of God is this. When you get to the end of the exam, you will fully and clearly be able to see God's provision. And you will see it as clearly on that day as Abraham saw a ram caught in a thicket. Receive the promises of God that right now the test may seem unbearable. The test may seem like it's going to overwhelm you. The test may seem like there's no way out of this. The test may seem like this is not fair. But God has allowed this test to come into your life, not to punish you. This test did not come into Abraham's life to punish him. The test came into Abraham's life so that when he was at the end of the test, Abraham could see what he had learned through the process of the test. Tests do not come to punish you. Tests do not come to tear you down. Tests come so that when you reach the end of the test, you can look and see all that God has done in your life, in the test, through the test, with the test, and by the test. Father, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees ahead and makes provision, the God who goes ahead of us, the God who sees years down the road and sees the choices, the decisions, the test that we're going to face. And he goes ahead of us and he makes provision. Father, I pray today for those who are in the middle of the test. Those, Father, who are sensing that there's no way out. This hurts too much. This is consuming my life. This is breaking my heart. This is unfair. I pray, Father, that whatever stage they may be at in this test, that they would see it through. That they would not look for the easy answer. That they would not look for the easy way out. That they would not look for the painkiller. But Father, I pray that they would set themselves and say, God, You'll provide. You're going to make a way, even where there seems to be no way. You're going to solve this. You're going to heal my heart. You're going to cause this to work together for my good. I may not see it now, but I believe. I have faith. I have hope. I will obey You, and I have vision. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.